This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go on the world's greatest radio. You are in touch with The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I am the co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. We are discussing the topic of sex in this system of white supremacy, racism. We've had some calls to that, and Mr. Fuller has gone exhaustively to answering your questions and questions that have been generated by your Gmails. One of the things that we are discussing, you look at page 275 in the revised expanded edition to page 357. There are a number of questions and suggestions, topics, notes. If you haven't read that section, you might want to make sure that you get the book, which Mr. Fuller will talk about at the 45-minute mark, but get that book, read it, and try to glean as much understanding as you can. Now, Mr. Fuller, on page 279, that's 279, at the bottom under the notes, there was a little statement that was made. It's in bold black print right above that, speaking about be aware. Do you have that yet?
I have it.
Okay.
279.
Yeah, and that statement right there, and I'd like to have you speak to that, where it says be aware of everyone's sexual weakness and so forth.
Yes,
yeah.
Be aware of everyone's sexual weaknesses, strengths, and peculiarities, including your own. In other words, be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And be aware of other people's sexual weaknesses, strengths, and peculiarities. And it's a lot of peculiarities in everybody's sexuality, because people don't understand their own bodies and minds. Peculiarities in everybody's sexuality, because people don't understand their own bodies and minds when
mm-hmm.
it comes to sex, and particularly when you have the input of the system of white supremacy where it comes to non-white people in how sex is supposed to be handled. So you got mass confusion, for one thing.
Yeah, and you mentioned that
so
in here.
Started off with that. See, one thing, you have mass confusion, and the white supremacists are pushing more confusion when it comes to sexuality.
Yeah, could you read that part where it says be cautious?
Says be cautious in your judgments and conclusions of anything dealing with sexuality. Be careful in what you say or do that may add confusion
yes.
about or do greater non-constructive harm to those involved in one or more questionable sexual situations, especially during the existence of white supremacy. Why? Because the system of white supremacy has distorted everything.
Yes.
I mean, we're not even aware of how you're affected,
mm-hmm.
and particularly in the area, the eighth area of activity, according to the code, sexual activities. I mean, people just don't know which way to go. And when the white supremacists are just jerking people around in every kind of direction you can name, okay? So you come up getting all kinds of different signals from so many different sources about how do you handle sexuality. I mean, when do you start having sex and with whom and how do you go about doing it? And all this thing about the dating scene, you got TV programs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is very contradictory and confusing and basically chaotic.
Yes.
So that's why you should say, wait a minute, what's the most constructive thing I can do when it comes to sexuality? Now, the code always says what about problem solving? Getting back to that key term, you know, there's two terms here that has to do that we should always keep in mind in anything dealing with codification, and that is constructive, that word constructive, and the other term, the phrase, problem solving. So therefore, you say, now, what can I do that would have the most constructive effect sexually? All right, keep that in mind. Anytime you're dealing with sex or any of the other areas of activity, what can I do that would have the most constructive result? And what can I try to influence other people to do that would have the most constructive result? Okay, to get to the mechanics of it, which is what codification is all about, what to do and what not to do. So on page 278, like the person from South Africa called in a little while ago and said, what's the best thing you can do under these actually horrific and terrible and tragic circumstances? It's all tragic. Everything is tragic, all right? There's nothing that you can say that's really pure anywhere, okay? So on page page 298.
298. Wait a minute. Yes. Let me get there. Wait a minute. 298.
On page 298 of the revised edition of the basic textbook.
Okay, I'm there.
Right. Starting toward near the center of the page, starting with the word before.
Oh, I see it in bold print.
Yeah, before the first act of sexual intercourse and or sexual play with any non-white person, mutually agree to ask and truthfully answer all of the following questions, plus whatever additional questions that may come to mind. And I think it runs into something like 130 questions.
Yes.
That is, before you have sexual intercourse with anybody, the suggestion. Now, you don't have to take the suggestions. You can skip over the suggestions, but it should be about 130 questions, your usual line of questions that a male and a female ask each other somewhere, come somewhere between 15 and maybe 40, I would say. 15 is kind of like run of the mill. 40 is about maximum. You ask maybe about 40 questions, and then you're ready for the bedroom. Most people come way short of the 40 questions.
You ain't even lying about that one.
Yes. Most people, before they head toward the bedroom, they don't ask and answer 40 questions. There's usually somewhere around the neighborhood of 15.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually, you know, just basic questions. Are you married? Are you in a relationship? How many children do you have? You know,
et cetera,
where do you work?
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to maybe, it will top off of maybe around 15 or 20. Very seldom does it reach 40. But I'm saying there should be at least 130 and maybe more. It might top off at something like 212 or something.
Yeah, that's what Libby said.
But I have made a suggestion of about 130, which I think would satisfy most people if they answer, if they agree, both parties, both male and female, ask and answer the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all democratic. The questions that you don't want to ask and answer, if you go ahead and have sexual intercourse without answering and asking these questions, you can't say that you regret not having done it later on.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You should agree. If it's something that you just definitely don't want to talk about, I mean, well, you say you don't want to talk about that, so you skip over it.
Mm-hmm.
But
now,
remember, you skipped over it.
You skipped over it. Now, when we started the second hour, you know, with this, one of the things that you said was that this, that we have to understand that in the system of white supremacy, racism, that we have been taught, black folk, non-white folk, have been taught by them to do this thing, which added to and produced confusion. And that it was on purpose. I would say, Mr. Fuller, and maybe you can correct me if I am wrong, but if people were to be honest with themselves and ask themselves that question about sex, when did they first encounter sex and what happened? If truth be told, if people were really honest with themselves about that particular information, that particular subject, they would have to conclude that the way that they were taught was wrong, was incorrect. You know, I never heard about asking questions or at least, you know, these many questions, you know, to get down to it. What say you on that? You know, do you feel that most people are not honest to even with themselves when it comes to asking questions about this, or how did they learn about sex? Could they conclude that racist man and racist woman taught them what they understood about sex?
Absolutely. That's what I started off, answering the question from the person that called in from South Africa.
Yes.
I said, we're completely poisoned, all of us, not only when it comes to sexuality, but when it comes to anything
right.
of any serious consequence in economics, education, entertainment. I mean, it's all tragic. I mean, it's just as tragic as it can be. There's nothing that comes anywhere close to the qualifications for what I say and what I put in the textbook, being universal man and universal woman, in tune with the very best that can ever possibly be in the entire universe. That's what we should be heading for. Just not getting rid of racism, that's the first step. But also, with it in mind, we are going to become universal man and universal woman. I mean, with universal principles
mm-hmm.
that always produce the best possible result that could ever be produced by anybody, anywhere, in any area of activity, any time of day or night.
Yes.
That should be our goal.
That should be our goal.
Okay.
And that in itself, Mr. Fuller, and this is me, that in itself is one reason to purchase the book. I'm not, Mr. Fuller did not ask me to push this book, but just listening to what he had to say would be one reason to purchase the book and try to get some understanding, not just in the area of sex, but in all these areas, because we have to understand that we are in the prison system of white supremacy, have been. And these are the things that they have taught us. Let's go to the Gmails. This comes from Daryl. He says this, Mr. Fuller, there was a caller that called in towards the end of the show on September the 5th who kept trying to pit what Mr. Fuller says against what another respected spokesperson in our community, advocates said. Both Mr. Fuller and this other spokesman have appeared together in the past at some speaking events, and I call to tell you 1,000% with confidence that this other black spokesperson has never said that white supremacy is an illusion. So props to you, Mr. Fuller, as usual, for not giving into these attempts by some callers to try and spread lies, misinformation, and confusion amongst our ranks, who say on one end that folks like you, Mr. Fuller, and those in the academic world should work together, but then start pointing out how you all differ. I despise those attempts to keep us at each other's throats, and it's common on social media. And Mr. Bobby, you too, be aware of some of these callers who call in with their own axe to grind an agenda with another victim of white supremacy by trying to get Mr. Fuller to say something against them so they can get the soundbite and play it like, see, I told you that there was wrong with the way to do things. So, Mr. Fuller, I just wanted to get that off of my chest for my VGQ piece of the day. That was from one of our loyal listeners who felt to make that comment under VGQ. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Okay, line one. Okay, go ahead. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Two questions. Has white supremacy as a destructive produce a constructive outcome for the white supremacy people?
Hello?
Yes.
Can I be heard?
Yeah, go ahead.
That was see as a destructive force produce a for the white supremacists and white people.
Mr. Fuller, did you hear the question?
It seems like it was broken up.
Okay, caller, could you ask that one more time?
Certainly. Has white supremacy as a destructive force produced a constructive outcome for the white supremacists and white people?
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, but on a limited basis, because the system of white supremacy itself is a poisonous system, and poisons have a tendency to feed on itself. Anything that's kind of alien to what should be in the body politic. So do whites, if I understand the question, do white people suffer from the system of white supremacy? And the answer is yes, but not as
much. No, I didn't ask that question.
Okay. All right.
I didn't ask that.
Okay. The question is, so that I'll understand.
Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting. The question was, has white supremacy as a destructive force produced a constructive outcome for the white supremacists and white people?
Okay.
Produced a constructive outcome?
For the white supremacists and white people.
The answer is yes, as far as their criteria is concerned.
Yes,
their criteria is what? Fun, glory
and
material comfort based on mistreating non-white people. That's what white supremacy is. They get three things out of it: fun, glory, and material comfort. That's what all creatures want. But the way they want it is through the process of mistreating people of color. They found out a standard for doing that, and it worked very well for what they wanted. But it's illegitimate when you think about what is constructive for everybody and what is non-constructive. Then that falls in the non-constructive category. Why? Because you get fun, you get glory, and you get material comfort, but you get it from mistreating people. No people should ever be mistreated, regardless of the reason, or regardless of, you know, what scheme you come up with for getting what you want. Those three things that everybody wants, all creatures want them. Squirrels want it. Alligators want it. They want fun. They want glory. And they want material comfort. All creatures want that. Babies want it. Okay? But it's how you go about getting it. That's where the problem is. Somebody discovered a way of saying that anybody with color in his or her skin is eligible to be mistreated by anybody who doesn't have color. And that would be someone with what is called sometimes the non-color white. Okay? So you are eligible to mistreat anybody who has color.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you get fun, you get glory, and you get material comfort.
Okay. What is your second question, sir?
It was okay. Thanks for answering my question. Honestly, I appreciate that, Mr. Fuller. And also, with that being said, since it's yes, should non-white people, same principle, to produce a constructive result for the majority of the non-white people that are suffering right now?
Oh, what do you replace white supremacy with? That's the way I usually put it, in the form of a question. What do you replace? If you're going to replace white supremacy, racism, what are you going to replace it with that will be better? And it says on the back, of the book,
mm-hmm,
justice is better than racism. That is on the back of the textbook for victims of white supremacy. Just that statement. Justice is better than racism. Racism produces a lot of things. You can get a lot out of racism. You can get a lot of things done, material-wise, but you destroy millions of people in the process. You just throw away people like they are nothing. In order to have some machine or have somebody just, lie around on a beach and watch the sailboats go by. I mean, you know, and wave at your friends and whatnot. But the cost of doing that means somebody in the Congo is suffering in some mine somewhere, or dying somewhere, I mean miserably, or being beaten, or kicked around, or being enslaved, basically, all right, by the white supremacists, either directly or indirectly, getting some diamonds out of a place, or getting some coal, or getting some type of chemical substance in order for someone to just walk around and prance around and show off in a fancy dress somewhere in Paris, who is white, and a few non-white people doing the same thing, being taught to copy it. That's not justice. Justice is better than racism, theoretically, but justice has never been produced by anybody. That is where black people are supposed to be trying to replace the non-white people of the planet, should be 24/7 trying to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Now, what is justice? By definition, compensatory definition, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That's the type of system we want.
Yes.
And then use that to produce something called universal man and universal woman. That can include white people being universal man and universal woman, if they meet the qualifications.
If they, yes, sir. Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. And here's one that I'm going to share with you very quickly, and it's simply entitled Your Time to Travel. And it's hosted by Brother Ricky Tyus, and he will discuss all the latest information on traveling, not just here, but all across or all around the world. All around the world. Give you the latest information on topics. And, of course, you can call into the show and ask your specific questions to him. But it's your time to travel. And all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on programs, and then there you have it. Find it, and there you have it, and get all the latest information. That's from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the compensatory concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. Our topic today is sex, the eighth area of people activity, and we've been discussing that. We also talked about the suggested movies that Mr. Fuller is compiling. And here is a question from Brother Everett. He says this, good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller often says that there are lessons learned in films. I recently watched The Longest Yard remake with Burt Reynolds. In this movie, there was a scene with a prison guard played by Stone Cold Steve Austin. He knocked over a stack of books and ordered a prisoner played by rap star Nelly to pick them up. Nelly complied. Then the guard called him the N-word and asked him, does that bother him? Nelly simply replied, no, sir, and returned to work without reacting. According to the code, is this the correct response since he was in greater confinement, Mr. Fuller? Thank you.
And he was called the N-word, and then he was asked the question.
Yeah,
Did it bother him?
Yeah, the guard called him the N-word and asked him, does that bother him? And Nelly simply replied, no, sir, and returned to work without reacting. Now, according to the code, is this the correct response since he was in greater confinement?
Yes, that would be what I would do. It wouldn't bother me. He's already done it. I mean, whomever put me in there, if it's on a bogus charge, particularly, have already, by definition, made me that. Okay? That's what you do. And that's what I am in the system of white supremacy anyway. That's what they do to people. You know, that's you add the term to the basic word, rization. See what I mean? That's a process. You know, you're not born that, but when you are imprisoned by the system of white supremacy, that's what they have done to you. They have made you that. Mm-hmm. That very word, that N-word, it fits, because by the compensatory counter-racist definition textbook, the word guide, codified word guide, that word is in there. The N-word is in there. And what is the definition of it? Words have definitions. And so I gave it a compensatory definition. The N-word is, by definition, a victim of white supremacy. Once you are no longer a victim of white supremacy, you are no longer the N-word. You might be black, all right, but you're just black or non-white. But you are not the N-word. It doesn't fit. Why? Because you're not subject to white supremacy. The minute you become subject to white supremacy, that, by evidence, makes you that N-word, because the definition, see, if you look in most dictionaries, you will find that the N-word means what? A derogatory term of a person who is Negroid, of African descent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, a lot of people call it the magic word because it makes people angry, but they don't really know why they are angry, all right, except somebody said it's a derogatory term for a dark-skinned person, okay? But here's the key to the power of that word that I discovered a long time ago, and I was kind of puzzled that no one else had discovered it, no one that I'd ever talked to. I said, where is the power in that word? What makes that word so powerful? Because it doesn't have a definition. That's what makes it powerful. The minute you give any word a definition, you limit its power. All right? That's just the magic of language. But you can come up with any word and not give it a definition, and you can jerk people around forever. Now, go back to the dictionary definition. It says derogatory. That's the key term right there. It's a derogatory term. Now, why is that a key term? Because it doesn't tell you why it's derogatory. Now, every professor, every scholar, every person listening to what is being said right now, think about that. What makes that N-word derogatory? What makes it so powerful as the N-word? Because it doesn't have a definition. The definition says it's derogatory, but when you say something is derogatory, it should be followed by why it's derogatory. But it never says that, and that's where the power is. It never says why it's a derogatory term. It just says it's derogatory when you apply it to a dark-skinned person. It's derogatory. Well, why is it derogatory? Well, hey, that's for me to know and you to find out. Ha, ha, ha. Mm. And that is what sets people off.
Yeah.
All right?
All righty.
So when you give it a definition, and I say the definition functionally means you're just subject to white supremacy. That's all. So what else is new?
Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to have a couple of phone calls and get your guide ready, or rather get your books ready, because we're going to ask Mr. Fuller a question on page 319 of the revised code. All that and more coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Talktainmentradio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. Talktainmentradio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Michael? Bigger than U.S. Steel.
If anything in this life is certain, if history's taught us anything, it says you can kill anyone.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Mm-hmm. All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller Jr., and we've been talking about sex in this system of white supremacy, racism. 1-877-932-9766. You can also go off topic and ask a question. And you can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Let's take this phone call. Okay, caller, you are now on with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. What is your question?
Yes, I have a question about as far as us coming over here from Africa, slaves, being slaves. I would like to know Mr. Fuller's opinion about what do you think about us being just a whole new race of people. As far as us coming over here from Africa and never, you know, getting to communicate back with the people over there in Africa, and we just started over here in the U.S., and we just mixed with everything that's over here, and we, like, the beginning of, like, say, like, another the Hawaiian people or something like that, and however many, the last few hundred years, is the only amount of time that the people that we really are that's over here in America has existed. And that's why we, it's so hard on us, because we never... You know, we just started. Our people, the people that's over here in America, we only existed for like however many hundred years, and I was just wondering what do you think about this.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
If I understand the question, if he's talking about unity, you don't unite with people. Now, that's what I wrote in the book. That's a flawed concept, in my opinion. It's strictly my opinion. You unite with a concept, and then the concept automatically will have the people in harmony with each other. First, you have a philosophy, a concept, an idea of what you're supposed to be doing on the planet, and you do this as an individual person. Then you make a code that will lead you to fulfill the concept. The concept meaning basically doing all the things that are of constructive value, problem solving. I go right back to that that phrase. Be a problem solver on a daily basis. Now, when you do that, if you're a black person and you're a problem solver, if you get to be known as a problem solver, I mean, people gravitate toward people who solve problems. That's just a natural instinct. I mean, females, I mean, gravitate toward a male who's a problem solver. That's where that word handsome came from, I believe. That I haven't looked it up, but I think, you know, when they say, oh, he's handsome, he got some hands, meaning he can do things. See, that goes back to the basic primitive stage or the emphasis stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, a person... You know, because if your brain is in concert with your hands and your brain is telling your hands to do something of constructive value, it's something magic that starts happening. When you are a person that can take your brain, match that with your hands, and start getting things done that need doing, you know, putting a roof over somebody's head or building a boat, or you're doing things. You're handsome. You got some hands. But in order to have those hands do the things that hands should do and be in the correct place at the correct time, doing the correct thing, and that's guided by a thing called a brain, all right, people are attracted to that, all right? And that person becomes handsome. Even a, you can call even a female handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a handsome female. Why? Because her brain and her hands kind of work together to produce what? Constructive results.
Yes, sir.
Constructive results like what? Problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has problems.
Yes.
But now somebody walks up who is a problem solver, that person becomes what? Automatically, I've seen it. That person becomes attractive.
Okay.
Wow. A person that just looks like any other person, I mean, you see them coming down the road, that person doesn't mean much of anything to you except that person is just another person. But if that person gets to be known as a problem solver, everybody gravitates toward that person. And so that is the thing to concentrate on.
Oh.
That's what you get your unity from.
Okay. All righty. Let me do this. Go ahead, caller. You're now on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Okay, Mr. Fuller, quite often on the show you mentioned constructive and non-constructive behavior. So here's the question. If there's a choice between constructive, do black people have a choice to be constructive or non-constructive? And if they do, then why do we have so much non-constructive behavior going on in our communities?
Okay.
Because the white supremacists glorify non-constructive behavior among non-white people. They'll reward you. If you write a song and that song leads people to think about doing something non-constructive, the white supremacists will say, hey, come into my studio. You can record right now. We're going to spread this all over the world. I mean, line up all the people who are called South Africans and Congolese and whatnot, because they're going to follow our lead. We got the technology and all like that. So you just line them up. I mean, come right into my recording studio. How many millions do you want? Okay, give that boy, $50 million right now. Hey, sign here, and this is going to be, and when people hear this, they're going to go into non-constructive activity. They're going to be killing each other. I mean, they're going to be pushing the females around, dogging them around and all like that. Hey, write another one. Get it out on the burner as fast as you can. That's just one example. But the white supremacists are that way about everything. They will finance a black person to the hilt. I mean, they give you unlimited amounts of money if you are going to do something or say something non-constructive that's going to have a non-constructive effect on whom? On non-white people, all right? That's what they do. I mean, that's what they're in business for. Yeah, anything non-constructive. If you come around fixing to do something constructive, they'll give you credit for it and all like that on the side, and they'll give you money. But they will seize what you do.
Yes.
They will take that.
Oh, yes.
And use that for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If you're George Washington Carver or somebody like that, oh, yeah, bring that boy in here. All right? And we'll hide him from the other black people.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll make him our own. I mean, real close.
They do that.
Bring him into the big house of the plantation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? And cultivate him and make him very comfortable. All right? But don't let him have too much contact with the rest of the non-white people, because he'll be spreading that constructive activity.
Okay.
And we can't have that among the people who we want always to depend on us for anything of constructive value, but let them have all the garbage that they want.
Okay, let's do this here. We're getting ready to come up on the 45-minute mark, which is usually the time that we have Mr. Fuller to speak about his book, in which we will. But for those of you who have the revised, expanded edition to help you out, or for those who are thinking about getting it as Mr. Fuller, or purchasing the book as Mr. Fuller will talk about, if you turn to page 47 of the revised, expanded edition, if you look at it said facts about the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. If you look at that, look at how Mr. Fuller has that set up. The word united gives you the definition. Independent, compensatory, code, system, and then you turn the page, and then there is a concept. It's all right there to give you an understanding on what's going on with this book and what you are faced against. And one thing that I thought that was really special, Mr. Fuller, was on page 55, and you double bold printed it. It said special compensatory notice. Oh, that's deep. For those of you who do not have the book, you need to get the book. Mr. Fuller is not paying me to say this. I'm just saying this because you need to get this book to get some understanding. Look at that. Special compensatory notice. notice. Double bold right in there. Mr. Fuller, this is the time for you to speak about your book, The Floor is Yours.
Yes, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. A lot of people, you know, call me sometimes. Some people call me, have called me on the phone, and sometimes they've run into me and asked me, well, Fuller, you know, you keep talking about the race problem, and you know, but where's, you know, what do we do? I said, have you read the book?
Uh-huh.
Have you looked at the book? Yeah, I got your book. I've had your book for years. I mean, but, you know, but, I, you know, I think it's time for black people to make a move. And so what are the moves that we make? I said, well, and I'm telling people this all the time. I said, you just told me you have the book. You say, yeah, I read the book. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in that book. And, you know, and, hey, I mean, yeah, I mean, hey, it's right on point. And I agree with you on a whole lot of things. There's some things I'm a little confused about. But for the most part, I mean, you know, yeah, I got the book a long time ago. In fact, I got a couple of copies, you know. And then I say, well, and you're asking me, what do we do? I say, yeah. Now, you know, now that I'm talking to you, what do we do? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, you know, we know that, you know, the man, I mean, you know, we know that white supremacy exists, and we understand all that. Most of us do. I mean, you know, that ain't nothing new for a lot of us, I mean, who are students of what's going on in the world and keep up with what's going on. And I think I'm a pretty good student of what's going on in the world. But, you know, this race problem. I mean, you know, and you're the person who's talking about it all the time, and I got your book, but I just want to know, what do we do? And then sometimes I just, you know, I'm silent. And I said, you told me you had the book. You listened to the programs. That's all I talk about in the book. And on the programs, I don't talk about anything else, I don't think. I talk about what we do mm-hmm. and what not to do. Everything is about doing something and not doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I tried to write the book. Now, I'm not the best writer in the world, and that's kind of obvious but to me. But I would like to write, and I've said this for years, I'd like to write at the fifth grade level. All right? Then, you know, but when... Under the system of white supremacy, when the white supremacists give you a lot of words, you have a tendency to use them. You know, if these words are in your head, you most likely will use the words that are in your head. It's a difficult thing to avoid. But actually, I use too many words to say the same thing. And somebody had to point that out to me years ago, way before I started writing the code book. Somebody pointed it out to me. They said, because, you know, going to school and all like that, you learn to use, they say, increasing your vocabulary. Well, yes, that works so that you understand people when they say things, but actually, the best languages are the languages that say everything in a few words. All right? So we might have to just look at the English language or Swahili or whatever and try to cut down on the number of words and say the same thing and say it better. Something that you it would take 15 pages to say, like a person demonstrated to me, could be done. You can say it in two paragraphs, all right? That was actually done to me or done with me or done in support of what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized it was pointed out. Say, sometimes you can say in two paragraphs everything that you say in 15 pages of small print. And you can say it in two paragraphs in bold print.
More with
less. I wish I could write like that.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
But getting back to the book, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. And what the book is about is what an individual person can do each and every day.
Yes.
Or should be doing suggestions and not doing in order to solve problems, including the race problem as the first one.
Okay.
Go to producejustice.com. Producejustice.com.
All righty. All righty. And again, check out page 55 of the Revised Expanded Edition and see what Mr. Fuller wrote. Double bold print, special compensatory notice. Mr. Fuller, on page number 319 of that revised expanded edition, at the bottom, or near the bottom, in bold lettering, could you read and then respond to that statement under the explanations, starting with, as a non-white male?
At the bottom of 319?
Yeah, starting there, as a non-white
male. As a non-white male, whatever you choose to say is a fault. Let's see now. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. As a non-white male.
Yes.
Whatever you choose to say is a fault of any non-white female. Also, be willing to say that her fault is your failure. I'm going to say that again. If you're a non-white male and you're talking to a non-white female and you're willing to say that she has a fault of any kind, also you should be willing to say that her fault is your failure, because that's the truth. The non-white male was strutting around acting like he was boss over something, knew everything, knew how to handle every situation before the beginning of white supremacy, according to history records of what I've been told, either true or false. But if he was doing that, the white supremacists took him and his non-white female.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That black male that said, this is my woman, the white supremacist said, that's not your woman anymore. That's my woman. That's my female, all right? And you are my male, and both of you are my slaves, all right? So you no longer have any authority over anything. So right from the beginning, the black male, who was supposed to be the protector, pounding himself on the chest, walking around with his chest stuck out and flexing his muscles, once he became in captivity himself, that was the failure of the black female. That was his failure, all right? Since that was his job, he said, he didn't do it. So he failed at that job and has failed ever since, okay? So whatever failures and faults she has, they're his.
Go on and complete that where it says your failure to do what?
Your failure to do what needs to be done to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. And that's every black male right now in 2018. Anytime you start criticizing a black female for anything, wait a minute. You were supposed to see to it that she wasn't in the situation that you're in, that she's in, because you're not supposed to be in the situation that you're in.
Exactly.
You are subject to the system of white supremacy. Now, how did you get to be that way with your all-knowing self? How did you become subject to an alien power if you were doing your job? You weren't doing your job. You were too busy strutting around bragging about knowing everything.
Under the explanation.
And you didn't know how to resist the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
So your failure and not knowing what to do about that, it's whatever failure she has, that's your failure.
Could you go ahead and explain that under explanation? Read that part there. I thought that
during the existence of racism and according to compensatory counter-racist logic, it is correct to say that the faults and the failures of non-white people, particularly non-white males, are the direct or indirect result of their not thinking, speaking, and acting effectively to replace the system of racism with the system of justice.
Wow. Wow. Very powerful statement.
Our failure, Neely Fuller's failure, to do his job. He's not doing it now. All right? So any criticism that I might have of the black female, that's because of me. Why? Because I fail to do anything about a system that came dominant over me and destructive of me and everything I'm connected with. And that is the system of white supremacy. I wasn't on guard against that.
Now I understand why you have referred to us as being boy. I understand.
We
that
are boys. Yeah. I mean, my manhood left with the system of white supremacy stepped in the door.
Wow.
I no longer was a man, if I was one in the beginning, because I didn't know what to do about that system that came in, kicking in the door. All right?
Boy.
Yes. And made, if I was a man, it made a boy out of me, and I've been a boy ever since.
Mm.
And I will remain a boy.
Mm.
Until I replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice.
Mm.
That's the truth. Neely Fuller and every other black male who is truthful, we got to swallow that.
Yes, sir.
And take that to the bank.
That's a hard one.
Yes, but we got to swallow the truth. Don't never run away from the truth. Grab it, embrace it, and say, now, I got to roll up my sleeves.
Yeah, what do I do about it?
I got a lot of work to do.
So
the foolishness is out.
Boy, that was really powerful, and it is. That, again, this is why the book is necessary. It's a guide. It's a code. Every man has to have a code. And what did you say a code was, Mr. Fuller?
A code is nothing but a way of going about doing things that you get the best possible result. That's all a code is. A wasp has a code. Sometimes I watch insects and whatnot. They go about, they have a routine. And why do they keep doing this routine? Because it's successful. See, an ant will not keep trying to do something that doesn't work. Okay? But black people have been trained by the white supremacists to always do everything that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Until the white supremacists come around and makes it work.
Yeah, let me get this in right quick before we have to close the show. I just got this in. It says, greetings. I really appreciate you suggesting to the listeners to get the code book and read the code book. I have a request or suggestion in addition to you recommending the listeners to get and read the code book. Can you ask the callers who call in to the live broadcast before they ask their question or make their VGQ statements, have they personally read the code book? This would only take a second, and then they could proceed with their questions and or comment. This would be very helpful for victims of racism to help them better understand where the comprehension and deficiencies may be coming from and could help to counter racist code. You know, we're out of show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And we'll see you next week.
The most important question in all racial matters. Why? One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.